Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
We drink tequila. We talk.
Welcome to Team Tequila Talks.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Right. It's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
Everyone, welcome to Team Tequila Talks.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Holy smokes.
I say holy smokes all the time, but this time I mean it. This is fiery.
That is pretty fiery.
It's pretty fiery.
Well, your host, Cassandra Dunamel and Sharon Gonzalez. And for our 50th episode, we brought back our most popular guest.
Yes.
Wow.
Dr.
I
LA.
Yes, I know. You are our most popular guest.
You
the people
are.
Loves you.
That's true.
The people's
loves
you. I meant the 50th. I mean, that's great too, but 50.
50. I know.
Congratulations.
We've been talking for 50 episodes.
Well, that's 10. That's 10. Wait, what if I do it 5 times?
Oh, 3, 4, 5.
That counts.
Spirit fingers. Are you adding more habanero?
Yes, because it's actually, this habanero salt has salt, sugar, powdered lime, ground habanero powder.
It's kind of like a tahini.
The lime. Yeah.
It just hits.
But isn't it spicy?
No, here, why don't you take a little in your hand?
Oh my God. You're trying to kill me over here.
Yeah.
Give me a little sprinkle.
A little something?
Here we go.
Okay. This is lime.
I think it's kind of balanced. Very nice. Is there a kick at the end?
There's a little kick.
See, I want to cook with this. See, I would make some eggs.
No, I would cook with this for sure.
Totally.
I just don't
this
know that I want to put it on an already
it
spicy
like,
cocktail.
It tastes like the Mexican limon candies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're in the green.
Yeah.
In the ice cream store.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what this tastes like.
Okay.
That's good.
But this is a habanero tequila. Tell us what we're drinking, Sherry.
We are drinking is it Tanteo or Tanteo? Tanteo.
What's it say on the bag?
But it doesn't have an accent over Tanteo.
I think it's Tanteo.
Tanteo.
Okay. Yeah, because if it were in Spanish, it would have an I if it were Tanteo.
Yes.
Like Tapatio, right?
And this
is Tanteo, I would say.
It's Tanteo. We're drinking a habanero infused 100% Blanco tequila, and we mixed it. We fresh squeezed some regular oranges, also a blood orange, and we added a little bit of orange bitters, and we have a tiny bit of, we used Grand Marnier to make this Cadillac.
And we didn't use agave.
No.
Because
we have it on standby.
We had some fresh, juicy oranges.
They were juicy.
Yeah, but we didn't really want
to,
like...
I don't think you needed to.
We didn't know.
Yeah,
no.
It's good.
It's fresh squeezed orange juice. It's like all of the vitamin C you need. And then I did a tahini rim, and then I just sprinkled this habanero salt inside of it. But I felt like I could have rimmed it with it, too.
Oh, okay. I was assuming that is what was on the rim.
Because we had already rimmed it with the tahini, and then we went to open the bottle, and we found the salt that was attached to the bottle. So I feel like had we known that was there, we probably just would have used that. But
it's tasty.
Yeah. Well, no, it is good. It's just, it's like spice on spice on spice. Do you know, I'm sure you know this, LA. Do you know what a Scoville score is?
Scoville?
A what?
A Scoville.
How do you spell it?
S-C-O-V-I-L-L-E.
I have no idea what that is.
So a Scoville score is what ranks how hot peppers.
Where's
are.
The habanero?
Oh.
It's at the top.
That's not at the top. No,
yeah.
What's that ghost?
It's under ghost pepper. It's under ghost pepper.
Oh, it's under ghost pepper. Okay,
but
I'm
it's like, I'm
ghost.
Saying, relatively speaking, like, it's got mild, medium, hot, fire. And habanero is right up there under ghost pepper
the
and
thing
above
with habanero
Thai chili.
Is the flavor, I feel like it's the only hot pepper that the flavor is also still good. Because when some hot stuff is so hot,
scalding your mouth,
then it's like, but the flavor
there's
isn't
no taste.
There. Yeah, like habanero has such a like smoky, yummy flavor too. That and it's got the kick. It's just like the perfect pepper.
So I mean, it says it's 100,000 to 350,000, which I feel like that's a big range.
To what? 100,000 to 350,000?
Well, that's the thing is it doesn't have a unit on it. It's just like that is what the scale. I think. Okay, let me see. It's just, it says that the scale, for the Scoville scale.
Okay.
And maybe Scoville. I might be saying this wrong.
Scoville?
I mean, I didn't know the name of it, but I
who
knew
that this
existed.
Who is this person who made this scale?
I don't know. But it's like, I knew it was a thing. Mm. There's peppers have rankings.
That makes sense.
And this Scoville scale is 0 at the bottom, which is a bell pepper, up to 15 million.
Which is the
big range here, which is capsaicin? Capsaicin? I don't even know what that is. Pepper spray is 2 million.
Yeah. To give you an idea. I watched that. What's that podcast? Hot Wings?
Yeah.
Hot Ones?
Yeah.
Oh. And they use, and I bought two.
That's a YouTube show.
YouTube
right?
show. Yes, yeah. what it is. Yeah. And they, and, you know, he has them lined up and you can go on the YouTube and it shows you what type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I bought two of them and I make soup sometimes and I like my soups. I don't make the batch spicy because I have a family yeah. that does not like that. But I put like two dashes in my soup. Yeah. I made a tortilla chicken soup last week. I put two dashes and I could not. My eyes were burning. I was just like, but then I kept, and my daughter was like, why do you keep eating it?
Like, because you can't stop. It's addicting.
It is.
It's like you, because the other thing that I love that people are like, what is wrong with you? Is when something is temperature hot and also spicy. So you're like,
yeah,
literally burning your mouth.
That's me.
That's, and not, like, a, that's not a good time to
see,
me.
See? Oh, mm-hmm. I love it.
Uh-uh. Yeah.
If something, I like need a kick. Like if something doesn't have a kick to it, yeah. it tastes bland.
Absolutely. I think something wrong with your taste buds. I think it's something wrong with our taste buds.
I get my kick from vinegar.
I like, do love vinegar
I,
as well.
So listen, I like hot sauce, but yeah. I like some, you know, I like some Frank's.
Yep.
I like
Cholula. Cholula's very vinegary.
I have some Cholula yeah. I like. I'll do yeah. some Tapatio. And I yeah. have some, like, I do have some cool low-key mom and pop brands that I like as well that I'll pick up. But mm-hmm. I live, when it comes to hot sauce, I live in the mild to medium range.
Yeah.
yeah.
When it comes to overall spice, I'm kind of a medium person. But I'm adding additional spice, I just wanted to give it a little flavor, a little something. And it needs to be vinegar-based for me.
Yeah. yeah.
I would rather on my food take rice vinegar, balsamic vinegar, white vinegar. Like, I've got a whole vinegar section
mm-hmm.
at home
mm-hmm.
and I've probably got like 18 different types of vinegar because that is how I want to get that extra something.
Yeah,
it's not the actual like burning your taste buds.
Yeah,
I agree. I love a kick though. Mm-hmm. Everything, my spaghetti, if I make spaghetti, my plate is covered in chili flakes. I mean,
yep.
I can't eat food. I mean, I made a savory oatmeal one time. Like, this is, like, in the pandemic, like, you know, people were posting recipes, and this girl was, like, you know, some shallots and mushrooms and,
oh.
and like, you know, like, was it, like, almond cream or coconut cream, and you cook your oats slow, and I was, like, and it was delicious. It's, like, it was very mushroomy, but I added so much hot pepper flakes.
Yeah.
Just to make it taste good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've accidentally given juniper... So, I mean, I don't know Italian food. Like, I grew up not having Italian food at all. So, like, I don't know all the different sauces. I don't know the types of pasta. Like, nothing. And so I made all of that. You know, pasta and meat sauce is, like, the extent of my Italian cooking.
Right.
And it was...
Can't mess with the basics, right?
Arrabbiata. How do you say that?
Arrabbiata.
Arrabbiata yeah. sauce, which I had no idea was
spicy.
A spicy. Mm-hmm. And so we're all eating. All of a sudden, Junie's like, No, like, it was like, start crying, and I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong?
Because you didn't eat it first, or you just, your taste buds are so
desensitized.
I
probably thought you
were like, red sauce is a red sauce
yeah.
to me. No. Like, that's yeah. how much I don't know about Italian stuff. Yeah. I'm like, and then I looked it, I literally yeah. had to Google.
It has a chili in it. It has yeah. like a Calabrian or something in there. There's something in there that in the sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might just be like the red pepper flavor, but it does have a kick to it. And I think that there's a range because I've gone places where I get the Arrabbiata and it's just got like a pleasant little punch to mm-hmm. it. And then I've gone places where I'm like, this yeah. is really effing hot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just, it's too hot to enjoy. Mm. I'm very like, I love a Diavola pizza.
Ooh.
Like I love a spicy salami situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I kind of think that that's because you've got a non-spicy
other stuff.
Bread yeah. balancing
cheese.
It out.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, we're talking about food. Kids' nutrition, because I feel like we all have
Speaking
kids.
Speaking of giving your kid accidental spice.
I mean, well, it was a perfect little segue because she talked about giving her kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I eat pretty fairly. I'm an 80-20 girl. You know what I mean? Any day of the week, you can find me 80-20.
Pretty healthy.
Pretty healthy. So my daughter, I've never given her, she ate what I ate. So when she started to eat, I didn't make, I mean, obviously when she was on soft foods, I made her like sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm,
and like.
Mm-hmm.
But when she started to eat solids, I would make my family a meal and give her just a side, or maybe I have to cook the rice longer, mm-hmm. or whatever you do. And so I never really got into the, like, kids' nuggets.
No.
You know what, at Whole Foods or Ralph's, when you go and it's like Dr. Prager's broccoli bites or...
Mm-hmm. Well, which is better than...
It is. Like. He who also made the patties, like the chicken with the broccoli inside of the chicken patty, organic. But I mostly made her meals myself, and mm-hmm. she follows the 80-20 because I follow the 80-20. Sure. I've never given her, you know, we go to a restaurant, she eats what I eat. She's mm-hmm. off the adult menu.
We don't do kids' menus.
We don't do kids' menu. And I do think kids' nutrition these days, from what constitutes as food for kids, is probably close to, like, chemical, like, food poisoning. Like, what we think is kids' food, and if I'm on America, I don't know, America only.
Well, kids' menus are kind of a North American thing.
I feel like it is.
North America, mm-hmm. and they're not.
They're not.
Unless you go to a resort that's very westernized, totally. Right? Like, yeah. if there's some resorts that cater to North American tourists.
You'll find a butter pasta on any menu for any kid. Yeah.
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 It's hard to know, like, what to feed your kid. I feel like I've had a different mentality because, like, my mom, you know, growing up in her culture, she, like, taught us a certain way. So I feel like we weren't really raised in, like, an American westernized, like, food culture. But we did, my mom babysat and she helped raise a lot of other people's kids who did send them with, like, puree, you know, the mm-hmm. baby food and all right. that stuff. So I was familiar with it growing up. But, you know, there's so many, like, things to think about when you're feeding your child that you don't, it's so a little scary a little bit. And like I've talked about before on my Instagram, there's this company called Solid Starts that like gave the best guide to doing like the new like baby led, I don't know how new baby led weaning, that right. term is newer. It's,
right.
It's an old way of
totally.
It's what you did. You
yes,
know,
absolutely.
You give them the food. It's essentially not pureeing the foods. It's giving them whole foods. Mm-hmm. But knowing, like, how to slice it, how to cook it, so that they're practicing chewing mm-hmm. whole foods from yeah. the start.
It's right. so nerve-wracking because I'm in that phase with my tiny human right now. And I remember I must have blocked it out. Because I know that I had to do it
yeah.
with our daughter, but, like, I can't remember.
It was too far away.
It's so nerve-wracking because... You have to give them practice at chewing things. So you want to do things like watermelons nice and soft and can kind of dissolve. But I swear, like, I'm on high alert because he's still trying to figure out how to chew. And then it goes down his throat the wrong way. And he's like, and,
yeah.
oh,
yeah.
and it's just so nerve-wracking because scary. He's now in this phase where he's learning and he can either eat things that are like crispy, crunchy, or purees, but he hasn't figured out the in-between. So he's still having a really hard time with things like eggs.
Right. Yeah.
Because he thinks it's soft and that he can just swallow it yeah. as opposed to chewing it. And they say that you're supposed to start with the soft foods, but he's having a harder time with the soft foods.
Well, it could be a texture thing. I mean, yeah. these kids come in this life a certain way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I used to do... Like, avocado was on. I had a book. I'm trying to think. When you said what you followed, I
yeah.
did follow a nutrition for infants book where it was, like, every transitional eating phase, like, when they would graduate to the next phase. And it was, like, avocado and banana slices were perfect because
yeah.
you can marry mm-hmm. the two. And it's, like, a little
the
sweet.
The fat and the sweet.
Yeah. yeah. And Skylar would pick the banana, and then the moment she put avocado, she'd go, bleh. And she would spit it out and, like, wipe her tongue. And I was like, girl, you're from California.
You love avocados.
And Rick was like, babe, she fucking hates avocados. Like, she doesn't even know what her name is. Like, how do you hate avocados?
Well, they have to come out with preferences.
Yeah, they do.
Right?
100%. She, Junie didn't really, she, at first she like was okay with sweet potato and she literally eats like everything. She does not.
Yeah, she has a good palate. I
yeah,
see her on
she does. But like potatoes, except French fry. She'll like right. down a French fry.
Well,
but
who
like,
doesn't love a fried potato?
Potato in any other form. She's like,
that's
Skylar. Good.
Skylar hates it's potatoes. Weird. That's not a
well,
French
fry. Well, I have yeah. to say, so and like, you know, this is not passing judgment by any means because people have got different priorities. You got to feed your kid, but you feed your kid. But I think that the sooner you start them on clean foods with diverse palates, even if it's just a couple of bites or getting it on their tongue,
mm-hmm. yeah.
exposing them, and they have all of this food science behind it.
Yeah.
Because I've had to dive back into my pediatric nutrition studies because I didn't do it for a long time. Right. And even when I studied nutrition, it was adult nutrition. So I had to, when I had Mavi, I had to learn about pediatric differences because, for example, kids do not need as much protein as we do. Mm-hmm. So they say as an adult, especially as a female over 30, but as an adult that you need to be eating about a gram of protein per your ideal body weight. So like if you're trying to lose weight, you know, you can make that number a little lower. But if you're happy with where you're at, if you are 185 pounds, you should be eating 185 pounds of protein.
It's hard. Look,
it's so hard. It's like you just got to be eating chicken breast all day.
Let me tell you something.
It's really hard.
I try to make it easy. I get these organic pre-cooked chicken things. I get all these things. I never go over 90. I've never gone over 90 grams of protein a day. It is freaking hard.
I started making a protein coffee that will blow your mind. I'm going to have to make it for you guys. Really? I use this protein powder from Just Ingredients. Mm-hmm. And so hers are really clean. She does use some stevia, but she can't, like, it doesn't have the stevia taste to it because it's very subtle. And she's got this vanilla bean protein powder that I mix with some chocolate mushroom powder. And I blend it in the Nutribullet with coffee and it's frothy. It's almost like a bulletproof coffee,
but
not as oily.
Yeah.
It's more like it's foamy and it's frothy and it's got 20 grams of protein.
Yeah,
so it's like your afternoon coffee pick me up or your late morning coffee.
If I do two of those,
that's
40
morning and it doesn't bloat you and make you feel super full.
Yeah, I have super clean protein for that too. Ooh, I'm gonna do that because honestly, my girlfriend follows macros very closely and she has to eat 138 grams of protein.
That's a lot.
And every day she sends me she has like the app and she's like on her best day 101.
Really
and she's
hard.
Like, Sherry, this is a lie, but she is slimming down and she is losing weight. She's hitting her carbs, her fats, and I'm like, if you can start now, she can eyeball it a little bit. Like she's been doing it for so long that she can be like, oh, I know I need more of that, more of that. I can't do macros, but the only macro, but my OBGYN and my little hormone specialist lady told me, focus on the protein first.
That's true. Yeah. Rob Wolf says, if you eat, because he's a pretty famous nutritionist, and he's saying, if you fill up on protein, you don't have to worry about fats and carbohydrates, because the only reason that you are overdoing your pastas or your breads or your unhealthy fats is because you're still hungry because you haven't gotten enough protein.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So eat your protein, prioritize your protein, and then just kind of like let the rest of the food be what it is.
Yes, proteins, greens, and I do like a little palm full of a very like complex carb. That's kind of my life.
So with the kiddos,
yes,
it's different. With the kids, it's about a gram of protein for every 2 pounds of body weight. And keep in mind that they're growing. So it's their protein requirements, relatively speaking, are about half of what ours are, right? And this is talking about kids that are kind of toddlers and on, right? We're not talking about infants. I mean, infants need a lot of fats, which is why you want to get them on those avocados and such. But
also salmon. I used to give Skylar salmon and eggs in the morning. So this book I had, it said, do not think you need to give
breakfast food for breakfast.
Absolutely.
I just talked to my brother about this.
Yeah, it's about introducing food at any given time so that way they can be more adventurous and accepting. I would used to put on Instagram some like sauteed salmon with eggs, and my aunts would DM me and they would be pissed.
How are you giving her fish? Well, that's like a westernized thing too, because the traditional eggs western breakfast, like that's a very North American thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of times in Europe, they're not eating breakfast. They're having maybe a cappuccino, right?
Yeah.
But breakfast is not a huge thing in a lot of places in the world. And then you go places like in Asia and it's a lot of like soup and rice and like dumplings
noodles.
For breakfast. It's noodles.
It's 100%.
Noodles.
It's carbs.
It's so good.
Know.
Rice, noodles, soup.
Noodles for breakfast is like my favorite
part. You're
Malaysia.
Thai. You're half Thai.
Malaysian.
Yeah.
Sorry, I answered that I answered that like, no, she's Malaysian. Don't you know?
Right. But wait, the Mayo Clinic says, so this is, I went on the Mayo Clinic because I was like, you know what, kids, I like got a something spicy.
No, that's a good reason to cough. I'm not cutting that out because I'm trying to tell people how spicy this fucking drink is.
No, but I don't mind coughing. But it, they basically said that it's based on your child's activity level.
It is.
And they're saying, kids that are more sedentary need more like DHA and all these other different types of fats.
Lower carbs, higher fats.
But
they still need carbs. And this is the big thing because carbs get demonized. And if you are working out, if you're athletic, as an adult, you're still going to need carbohydrates.
Absolutely.
Like maybe you carb cycle a bit just to keep, you know, your metabolism confused. Metabolic confusion is a big thing.
Right.
But with kids, you have to think, even if they're not super active in activities, like maybe your kid's really creative as opposed to athletic, they're still expending energy, growing.
Thinking, the brain needs
vertically. Well, yeah, and they're like, they're growing, right? You grow and your brain continues to develop until you're 25. Yeah. So you need carbohydrates and fats to fuel that. And protein's still important, but you've got to fuel that machine that's growing, these tiny humans getting big.
Well, the first thing they list for the Mayo Clinic for Kids is proteins. They're like, that is the number one deficiency in American children's protein. And I'm like, because kids love pasta and mashed potatoes.
They go and they
and
get
toast,
butter pasta.
And peanut butter and jelly
toast.
Sandwiches.
Yes. You go to a kid's menu and it is all French fries.
Yep. And chicken fingers.
Pasta, and there's no protein on it.
No, it's barely chicken fingers, but that's breaded.
It's
and then
breaded.
The next thing they say is fruits, then vegetables, then grains, and then dairies at the end. And absolutely, they say you need to limit. So this is kind of crazy because I was reading this study today that kids have over 110 grams of sugar a day, added sugars a day in the American diet. Adults have over 270.
That's because you go in first thing.
Starbucks.
Yeah. Your grande's got 57 grams of sugar in it.
And that's, I sent you an article the other day about Americans are the sickest out of the whole entire world because of our sugar diet.
Well, the type 2 juvenile diabetes rate has also gone way up. And that didn't used to be a thing. They, up until the 1980s, they didn't have a single case of recorded type 2 juvenile diabetes.
The number one killer of kids used to be accidents in the 70s and 80s, and now it is leukemia. Number one.
Leukemia? Really?
Cancers, childhood.
So do you think
cancers.
That this is because of all the chemicals and garbage in our food?
Well, that's kind of what the study was related to. Was like, what were we doing in the 50s, to 1940s to 1970s, where kids were accidentally literally falling out of windows? Like, they would, like, lean over. Well, you know, parental
Did
supervision.
Did you see those baby cages that they had? The baby cages that they have out of
car accidents, you know, before car seats
before
were
car
a thing.
Seats. Right,
baby flew
Set in a
through the
basket.
Yeah, literally, or a tin basket with the dog. So it was accidents. And so this study basically said, what were we doing in the 50s and to 50s to the 80s that where kids were dying of accidental, like falling from a tree or drowning in the ocean? And now it's like the children's hospitals are now a thing and they're corporatized and they pop their every in every major city because kids are getting sick. Blood cancers and leukemia is like the highest. So this whole study linked it to diet. And diet for, I think, Americans in general is just something you just, I'm hungry, grab a Snicker. You know, it's like where it's.
Well, that's their whole marketing campaign,
right?
Well, it's hungry, grab a Snickers is literally their slogan.
Where it's like an afterthought where when you go to like Spain, we lived in Spain for like 3 months. And when they're hungry, when they're like, oh, I'm hungry, I need some salami. I need some maybe to go ham.
Protein.
I need some goat cheese. I need a little salad and a glass of wine.
You sit down and they bring you home. That's what they put on the table.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's like, so they were saying that all the foods that we have approved here in the United States, not even a third of what we approve in our foods is available in the UK, Canada, or the EU, or even in some Middle Eastern countries.
They have much stricter standards for food.
And you're microdosing it every day. So this is what the study was saying was that, so let's say the FDA says you can't have more than 0.5 of this in this gummy pack. But if you put that gummy pack in your kid's lunch 5 days a week, they're now they're now toxic because it's only 0.5 for like once a month. But they don't write that on the package.
Right.
But the recommendation, and it's
there's always workarounds.
Well, because America's free, and parents should be able to free to decide what they want to
do. Well, you know what? And I think that is true because, listen, it's kind of a different conversation when we're talking about kids, because kids are relying on parents to provide them with their food and to tell them what's good and what's not. But I'm gonna use this example as an adult, because if you follow me on Instagram, you know that I am a massive champion of education for nutrition, and it's not that I want to judge or shame people. I never tell people, oh, you're a
fat pig for eating that. Like no, it's your body, it's your choice. And that's my hippie nature. But what I try to do is educate people on, like, meat isn't bad for you. Meat can be sustainable. Protein is your most important thing. And also, here are all the reasons why you shouldn't be eating these dyes, because they're linked to all these cancers and diseases. And it's just so you can take the education and take that knowledge and then do what you want with it, right? Like, we all know we are now at a point where everyone knows that smoking cigarettes is bad and can cause cancer, carcinogenic, right? And if you still choose to smoke cigarettes, you're an adult. Like, that's your choice. Yeah. By all means, go ahead. There are lots of things that are bad for you that people do anyway, right? Like, even driving fast in a car recklessly is bad for you, and people know it's illegal and know it's bad for you and do it anyway. It's your choice. But the thing is there's so much out there. We're just now getting to a point with nutrition where this science is available, and we can share this knowledge with how these foreign chemicals and preservatives and additives and colorings are affecting the bigger picture and affecting our health, because the chronic health, the health in this country is just really out of whack. And the number of people with chronic disease and that are on medication is like 80%.
It's imbalanced to the rest of the world, though. And I always look at what the rest of the world's doing, right? I
mean, you have the big companies. It's what it is. It's all about making money. Because, like, even they're talking the solid starts, like, they've talked about the baby-led weaning, how you're saying, and, you know, what were they doing in the, 50s, 60s, 70s for all these accidents? And so, what happened for these companies is that they're the ones who told mom, I don't know what the time period it was, but they're the ones who told the moms, like, you don't need to worry. It's when, like, the quick, easy started, like, everything,
the convenience,
you know,
meals,
the TV dinners,
Kraft mac and
things like
Kraft
that.
Kraft mac and cheese.
And basically, that's where the baby food, because before that, it wasn't like that. And kids ate whole foods.
Your grandma made, like, you lived, another thing, just to add, didn't mean to cut you off, but just to add, people had a village, literally no one. My granny was like, you kids, the way you live your life is all fucked up. Your kids are going to be fucked up because
thanks, granny.
She's like, you don't live on the same block as your sisters and siblings and your mother. You need to live on the same block. So that way, when you're home from work late, your mom is always going to have hot food on the stove. But you guys are like, I want to buy a house here and I don't want to live next to you. You bother me. You annoy me.
Yeah.
She was like, so then your kids grow up farther apart. So then, when your sister comes home late and she's like, ah, McDonald's. But what if you had food on the stove? And that's kind of like a part of it. We grew apart.
Well, the other thing too is like, so like these companies, they make you think that this is like the better, faster way, when like it was done the baby-led weaning whole foods way forever. So now they're trying to like reverse and be like, no, listen, like this isn't a new way of thinking. This is the old way of thinking. Like, we're trying to snap you guys out of, like, you don't need to give like it's more expensive to give the jarred food.
Absolutely.
Because like, part of it is like accessibility and, you know, money and all that. But like, a standard lunch that I feed Junie is either a can of green beans or a can of kidney beans, which are great sources of nutrition. Broccoli, I throw the broccoli in the microwave and steam it, and I boil a chicken.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I can't eat, I don't know how much that would cost total, but like, less than $10,
totally.
$5. Like,
totally.
Super cheap, and that will last like 3 days of lunch for her.
Yeah.
Well, so it is like there are ways to give very high nutritional value foods that kind of check all the boxes in a cheap way.
Well, and we've all been exhausted and like, I gotta feed my kid.
Yeah.
You have to, right? Like, because if it's just you think about it in your 20s and you're like, oh, I'm so exhausted. I don't need to eat. I'm just going to crash. I'll figure it out tomorrow.
I used to have like ice cream for dinner.
Yeah, but you can't. You eat crackers because they're in the cupboard, right?
Yeah.
But like, you can't do that with a kid. And I think that if we focus more on like, not just you can never do anything for convenience, because it's not realistic. It's all about taking steps in the right direction. It's about healthy swaps. For example, instead of Kraft mac and cheese dinner, I will do a bonza protein pasta that comes from chickpeas, or even a lentil pasta, because it has higher protein. And then you just add an organic chicken sausage, or like an organic chicken on top with some olive oil, some sea salt. Boom. That dinner takes five minutes to
it
make.
Does.
And it's inexpensive.
Goodles. So Skylar, I saw, I was at Whole Foods, and you know, I always like search the aisles like in the morning where I have to drop off. And I saw this thing called Goodles, and it was next to the
Goodles, not Goodles.
Goodles, like noodles, but good. Goodles.
Oh, like good noodles, Goodles.
Good noodles. Okay. And it's right next to the Annie's, and I don't really buy Annie's pasta.
I think that's fake healthy. Uh-huh.
But I normally do the bonza, or I do some type of like pasta, and I do like goat cheese with some like almond milk to make it cheesy. But I saw this, and I was like, And you know, my husband's been like, you know, hey. Quick dinners, he's like, she can have, I don't necessarily overload on dairy. Like I said, I'm 80-20, and it's dairy. But the cheese is made out of, like, carrots, and it's ground down to a powder. Everything on the box you can read, and it has 17 grams of protein
Well, and now serving. They make the box mac and cheeses that are organic grass-fed dairy. Yes. So if you are going to do Goodles the dairy.
Goodles is grass, so it's a good swap. It takes, like, right now, I left, and I just made a pot, and I had leftover chicken breast, and I diced it up.
There you go.
Mix it all in. It's cheesy, it's good, it's chicken, and she's going to love it.
Yeah. Well, I also think that kids don't get as bored with food. So we're sitting here as parents going, oh my God, I'm feeding my kid the same thing every single day or every other day.
Yeah.
They must hate me. They're not going to like their food. They're not going to trust me with food. They actually don't care because their palates aren't that refined. And it is important to introduce them to different foods. But you don't have to worry about every day mixing up the menu, right? Yeah. If you've got a staple like chicken breast, broccoli, and a bean, like that can be your foundation because it checks all of the box with you've got your plant and your animal proteins. So you've got your complete amino acids. And then you've also got, especially with green beans, you've got your chlorophyll, you've got your micronutrients happening as well with your broccoli. And so all of that stuff is going to check the boxes in terms of nutrition because at the end of the day, what are you trying to do? You're trying to keep your kid alive, right?
Like, fed is best is the saying.
Oh,
fed
yeah.
Fed is always best.
Fed is always best.
I love the fed is best saying.
I know.
Love it.
But I do think the quality of fed is...
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like part of it is the education, like learning, because what you feed your kid is also what you grew up eating. So it's kind of a passed on from generation to generation, you know? So I feel like that's part of it. It's if you weren't taught, you know, these different foods to feed your kid, you're going to fall into the same pattern that you were taught.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I have this theory about comfort foods.
Yeah.
So like... my parents always took us to McDonald's. We were at McDonald's 3 times a week. Because, again, back to the convenience factor. And at the time, we didn't know how bad McDonald's was. We didn't know all the chemicals. These ingredients weren't published, et cetera, right? So one of my comfort foods is McDonald's. And I haven't had McDonald's in years now. But even in my 20s, if I had, like, drank too much the night before, going through a breakup or whatever, just feeling down in general... I would want McDonald's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's because it was McDonald's and pizza, McDonald's and pizza. And I still love pizza and I still eat pizza. But
it's more refined.
Yeah. Now I get the, like, I go to pizza. An amazing Italian spot where they hand make the pizza and they're getting, like, the cheese from Italy and all this stuff.
Correct.
But the point is if you set that precedent, that's what's to be expected. And that's what your kids are going to go to when they go off to college or they move out and they're missing home. What are they going to do? They're going to reach for the comfort food. So that comfort food is what you are defining, and it is what you are shaping. You're shaping their palate right now. So I think it is important to set those precedents.
Right. I will say, in the study, what stood out the most to me when I read it was the fact that it does not matter how much money you have to be nutrition ignorant with your kids. So they did an interview with, like, doctors and lawyers and, what do you give your kid for a snack? And they were like, oh, Hidden Valley bars. And these people are high net worth people because they were just trying to show in the study that it's the American diet.
Right.
Even
it's
really
so indoctrinated
intelligent
in our
people will give their kids fruit snacks. But I'm talking about, like, gummy bears, Haribo. Mm-hmm.
Those Welsh's fruit
snacks. And they'll give them Lunchables. Like let's say a doctor, a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, Lunchables, is that bad? But they're experts, and it only proves that you can be an expert in one arena, and that's why parents should always keep learning. That's like my favorite saying about parents as you age and as your children age. You think, well, they're 15 now, they're on their own, but like you don't get stuck because they're still learning to do. Because I do think it's not a wealth thing. Because I thought, is this economical? Like when you only have $10, is the $2.99 menu at McDonald's more feasible for you? But it did not, because it was like the doctor sometimes comes home from work and she's like, McDonald's line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doctors are notoriously known for being unhealthy.
But you want to know why that is? Yeah. Just because doctors in their med school degree, in their medical degree, they have to take one nutrition class.
Yeah.
One. It's 3 hours. I mean, you're a doctor.
We dealt with the same thing with in physical therapy. You know, we get patients coming in telling us their GP, their general practitioner, that they're essentially the first line of defense for musculoskeletal issues. We'll tell them the most.
You should drink some skim milk every day.
just not correct advice at all. Their education in school on musculoskeletal stuff is like one course.
It's 3 hours. It's a one course requirement.
So much about everything else. And that's such a, it's just not their forte. And you know, good doctors will refer you right away to somebody.
A dietitian or a practicing nutritionist. Yeah,
but there aren't, you know, we've had to undo a lot of harm that doctors have done to patients about certain things.
Doctors are, my sister always says, I mean, she works at a hospital, she owns a company that deals with the hospital, she's always like, doctors are into prescribing and treating a thing.
Disease. So doctors, we've talked about this before, where doctors, it's not about wellness, it's not about functioning at an optimal level.
No.
It's about correcting an illness, an injury, an accident. It's correcting a disease. And mm-hmm. They're not looking about what you're eating on a day-to-day basis. And if you even have a question about that, look at what they serve for hospital food. Mm-hmm. When they bring you that platter, when you're in the hospital, you're like, I lost my mind when I was brought the food, like the carton Minute Maid sugar water and just the crap they brought. I sent my husband out for every single meal because I'm like, I refuse to make myself ill. I'm supposed to be prioritizing my recovery and my health and wellness right now. What are they doing mm-hmm. feeding people this food? And it's a business. It's cheap. It's easy.
Unfortunately, I mean, I will end with this because, you know, we're not a political podcast. But there is a saying that says Americans are too free. And what that means to me is that when they talk about capitalism on a corporate level, they talk about, you know, corporations run the U.S. They lobby the government. They get these microdosing, these nutrients in these gummy snacks. The FDA is one of the most powerful lobbying arms that the U.S. government has over tobacco. It used to be tobacco. Yeah.
The sugar industry is bigger than
sugar
tobacco.
Huge?
Too. Yeah, sugar. Yeah, they're part of the FDA. But the sugar lobbyists, I mean, forget it. They microdose sugar all day long to keep us all addicted. Mm-hmm. You got to look at it, read a label to see if there's any added sugars. Yep. It's hard to find. Mm-hmm. And basically, so people say, oh, Americans are too free because if the government could like regulate the amount of sugar they put in there, or if these corporations didn't dictate and say all natural and it has like 50 grams of added sugar, because that's not regulated to write all natural on a box. Mm-hmm. So they were like, this is my girlfriend in Europe, and she's like, maybe you guys are too free. Maybe you guys have too much. Maybe corporations are too free to mislead you because you guys aren't doing the research. Because what parent has the time?
You just trust
the label. Yeah.
Well, and that's part of why, circling back, that's why I spread all of this stuff on Instagram, because it's like, listen, you cannot trust the FDA. You cannot trust the government. Educate yourself here. Take this information. I'm going to leave it here. Yeah. Do what you want with it. Yeah. If you're not interested, if you don't care, that's just fine.
Yeah.
But here it is for those of you that are like, oh man, I thought this was healthy. I thought this was a better option.
I hear that all the time. Those little, like, what are those little juice bottles things? It's like smoothies. Boxes, yeah. Well, it's like a smoothie. It's like healthy and it has like greens and spinach in it, but also like 40 grams of added sugar. I forget what it's called, but you get it around.
Evolution juice.
One of those. Yeah. And it's like, and I'm like, you're
those
eating.
Those juices are always.
Well, I'm like, you're, sugar. I said, you're eating two Snickers bars. Yeah. I told my girlfriend, you might as well eat a Snicker.
Yeah. Might as well enjoy your sugar.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, before we, just to put a pin on the nutrition, like, I noticed that you, LA, do all of these, here's some exercises you can do with your kid. And I really, really like this because some days I have days where I do not have, we just talked about this, an hour and a half, 2 hours to go to the gym, commute, shower, all of that stuff, and get childcare to do said things, right? And I see that you post these things on Instagram and Dare to Be Active. Well, I guess on Instagram. But more or less you grab the kid and you're like, all right, let's put the kid on my back and do some push-ups or some cat-cows. Yeah. Or like, here's a stretch. You can, let's do some squats, right? Yeah. Because that's like a 30-pound medicine ball that you're getting. Yeah. Yeah. That's a real workout. Every time that I have to go up my stairs and then down and then back again carrying my bulb of a human. He's no assistance with, like, he doesn't hang on. Boys don't hang on. He's just like like a sack of potatoes.
You hold him and he's like,
wet spaghetti noodle. Yeah, he doesn't help at all. And I'll go upstairs and be like, oh man, I forgot something, and then but I can't leave him there. So I take him back downstairs and then I go up again and my ring will go, are you exercising right now? Like, no. I am not.
Yes, you are. As a mom with a young child, that counts.
It does.
That counts.
It counts towards my cat. That's why I started wearing my ring again. Yes. It's because I'm like, how many? It's not about the calories I'm burning in my 45-minute workout.
Right.
No. It's about how daily. Yeah, how many steps, how many stairs.
It's the cumulative throughout the day. Yeah. Like when you have a young child, young baby, like it's accumulated. There's no block of time. Even like, yes, you can put your baby down and like do stuff, which I highly encourage and I've done. But even then, it's like, okay, 15 minutes in, the baby starts crying. Like, it's not a continuous ever. Like, that's so rare. So, like, just sprinkle it in throughout your day. Like, we're starting to post a series called, like, Movement Snacks. Because, like, that's how we want people to think about, you know, we've always pushed, like, look, just how do we be more active throughout the day? And, like, if you think of it as, like, a little snack, just add it into your daily routine. Like,
and you can go have your actual snack.
Exactly.
Well, that's a big difference. I mean, so many studies about 15-minute burst of exercise. Not burst. You just have to be at high intensity. It can be like 15 minutes of like lunges or squats.
Or a glute burnout, right? Like, you'll get sore from that.
You do. And they're saying if you do 3 of those a day, and if you're not that type of person that can have the time for a 45-minute workout, but they're saying that you still get the same benefits.
Right.
Yeah. Where this whole, I think the old science was it needs to be continuous for 30 seconds or 30 minutes in order for it to count.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I just went to a physical therapy conference and, you know, attended some stuff about knees and arthritis, which I thought was really interesting. And then I went to like a fitness dosing thing where they say like physical therapists don't really dose exercise very well because they're or they don't dose it high enough because they're more of a like a rehab brain and not as much of like a fitness in the gym exercise physiologist trainer brain. So anyways, they're just discussing that. But, you know, basically what they're saying is the problem is people don't get enough activity, period. Like, it's like zero.
What's your NEAT, right? Your non-exercise activity. Right. What's the T? Non-exercise activity thermogenesis, right? Like, that's your NEAT? That's like how many, like, that's how many calories you are burning from non-exercise, non-gym. That's just like you're walking to your car, taking carrying your kid upstairs, getting up in the middle of the night and going to the bathroom. Like, it's all of your movement. And they said that's far more important than your 45-minute Pilates versus HIIT versus boxing versus whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the main takeaway that I got from a lot of, you know, the stuff that I'm seeing now and at that conference is just like, of course, if you're training for something specific and you have very specific goals, you need to be doing specific things to get to those goals. 100%. If you're going to run a marathon, you got to train for a marathon.
You have to run.
100%. Yeah. But for general population, it doesn't really matter as much. It's just the fact that you do it and you're consistent with it. And consistency is the biggest thing. So I'm always, you know, I don't care. Like, I get so frustrated sometimes with, like, the fitness industry because it's very negative.
Yeah.
Even the physical therapy, like, everybody's like, you're doing this wrong or why would you do that exercise? That exercise is stupid. I'm like, why? I literally just recorded a video of me, like, going on a little rant, which I obviously didn't post. But, like, this is essentially what I ranted about is, like, what if we just were positive around anything that had to do with, like, exercise? Like, if somebody's wants to do burpees, if you hate burpees and you think they're so stupid, why don't you just tell that person? No, I mean, like, for a client.
Right.
If they like doing burpees, I hate burpees as their trainer.
Right.
I would tell them, you know what? I love that you love burpees. Let's keep doing burpees, but I'm going to show you how to do them in the best, most safe, and you know, I'm going to set you up for success for that exercise if that's what you love to do.
Right. Right.
Like, I wish that's how we spoke around different things.
But they don't.
Versus, like,
I know, I
that's
just,
so stupid. I'm like, yeah. Just keep encouraging people to do
to be
what
active.
They love.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you can show them different ways to do things, but I don't know. I just get so frustrated sometimes because the bigger issue is that people don't
move.
Or yeah. They'll, like, they're afraid to, or they're like, well, I hate doing this, but I feel like I have to, and then it's an obligation.
Yeah.
Instead of, so if you're, like, I think moral of the story is find something you love and do that.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. Even 100%. If that's, like, yeah. Kicking up your music, taking a shot of tequila, and dancing around your living room.
I mean, hello. I have to stop exercising. I over-exercise, apparently.
You do. Yeah.
I mean.
That's a story for another time.
Yes,
thanks
is.
For
Cheers.
Joining us. Dr. LA, thanks for coming back and joining us for our 50th
congratulations.
We're 50.
We're 50.
We don't look a day over 25.
Are you kidding? I don't see a wrinkle in this room, except for maybe me.
No. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.